So far this year, 8 bicyclists have died on Iowa roadways. What will it take to make our state safer for bikers? It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Now, after the latest bicyclist death involving a motor vehicle during the first day of RAGBRAI, Governor Branstad says bike safety is one of the major issues he wants addressed by the legislature. This hour, we'll ask why biking in the state is hazardous and what can be done. My guests, Kyle Munson of the Des Moines Register, Mark Wyatt of the Iowa Bicycle Coalition, Ken McLeod of the League of American Bicyclists. Later in the hour, State Senator Joe Bolcom. Have you had a close call while biking on Iowa roads? What do you think needs to be done? Join our discussion. First, this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. So far this year, 8 bicyclists have been killed on Iowa roadways. The latest was on the first day of RAGBRAI when a pickup hit him from behind. What will it take to make Iowa's roads safer for bikers? Well, last week at his news conference, Governor Branstad addressed cycling deaths in Iowa, saying that he would make it a priority as we approach this year's legislative session. He also alluded to a new study group led by the Iowa Department of Public Safety Commissioner Roxanne Ryan to look at the issue.
Roxanne and I have talked about the issues of distracted drivers, drowsy drivers, people under the influence of controlled substances, and we've seen not only an increase in the deaths of cyclists, bicyclists, motorcyclists, but also motorists. And I do want to see us address those issues. And Roxanne's put a group together, I think maybe you might want to answer this too, that's going to be studying this and making recommendations.
Governor Branstad. This hour we'll ask why biking in the state is hazardous, what can be done. My guest this hour, Mark Wyatt, Executive Director of the Iowa Bicycle Coalition in our Des Moines studio. Hello, Mark, again.
Hi, Ben.
By phone, Kyle Munson joins us, Iowa columnist for the Des Moines Register. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, good morning, Ben.
And also Ken McLeod, State and Local Policy Manager for the League of American Bicyclists. Ken, welcome to you.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me.
When we talk legislative action, we'll be joined a little bit later in the hour by State Senator Joe Bolcom. But let's start with you in the meantime, Kyle. Before I do, let's reach out to our listeners to ask if you feel safe biking on Iowa's roads. Have you had a close call that you can share? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Our email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Kyle Munson, you were along on RAGBRAI, as was I, the entire week. Mark Wyatt, also the entire week on RAGBRAI. That first day, we had such a tragedy. Can you tell us what you understand has happened?
Well, yeah. I mean, on balance, you know, it was another great RAGBRAI week. I'm always kind of amazed that, you know, kind of the rolling circus of that scope and size, you know, can happen in any sort of way. But on that first day, we had a gentleman, a retired newspaper editorial writer from Florida, who was not technically on the route, but he was, you know, very much participating in the whole spirit of the ride. He was bicycling west of Glenwood to the Missouri River to dip his tire, you know, to kind of the symbolic start of the ride. Mm-hmm. And he was struck early Sunday morning from behind by a truck, and he was killed. So, and you know, this was happening just as on this first day of RAGBRAI, we had for the first time a mile of silence to, you know, kind of pay tribute to, you know, bicyclists who have died on the road. And, you know, as we've had more of this groundswell of this very conversation we're having today about what can we do to improve bicyclist safety and bicyclist motorist safety on the roads that we're sharing? Mm-hmm. And so that was all in the very, just as RAGBRAI was starting.
Right. And Kyle, as I experienced, I'm sure you did, you're seeking out opinions and stories on RAGBRAI. This colored the mood, was on people's minds, of course, with this death early on the first day.
Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of an eerie experience biking along this mile of silence. And that was, I think I had just you know, heard, caught the first word of what had happened right before I was on the mile of silence myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people, it was definitely, you know, especially early in the week, definitely a top of mind conversation among people. I've written before and I've said before that I no longer really feel safe as a bicyclist riding along a two-lane highway under normal conditions, you know, not Ragby is a different character. But just myself, you really start to think about how smart a choice is this.
Right. Last month, we had a reminder of that. A co-college professor, psychology professor, dying after being hit by a truck, a pickup near North Liberty. So we only have to look to the last month, to June, I guess it's 2 months ago mm-hmm. now, to find another. And this is a typical scenario, being hit from behind by traffic going the same way, by a car being killed that way. Mark Wyatt, your reaction to the flurry of deaths, also the death we experienced on Ragby. You were on the ride as well.
Yeah, this is just becoming a repetitive scenario that we're seeing, and we need some sort of intervention to stop the cycle of fatalities. You know, Daniel Lean in North Liberty, Lisa Kuhn over by West Liberty, and Bob Phillips near Nashua have all been overtaking type crashes where the motorist is from behind and they either have claimed they didn't see the bicyclist ahead or they were passing at the time or some sort of circumstances. But this scenario keeps happening over and over, and it's collectively gone on for the past decade as long as we've been tracking fatal crashes. Almost half, actually, over half, have been overtaking style crashes.
Mm-hmm. The Mile of Silence, a dedication, was the first for Ragby this year, hosted by your organization, Mark, the Iowa Bicycle Coalition. Tell us a little bit about the background, why you needed a Mile of Silence. I rode through it there. Boom boxes off, talking, stopping. There too. Why do we need this moment of reflection?
This is building awareness, and this is with the hope that we never have to do this again, that next year that fatal crash number is zero. There's a movement called the Ride of Silence, which is a national movement that holds silent rides during May to remember those that have been injured or killed in bicycle crashes. When we were heard about the five bicyclists that were killed in one crash by a driver allegedly drunk driving in Kalamazoo, Michigan, that was an opportunity for Ragby to look kind of at the national picture, but also a look at this as an Iowa focus to remember those that were there killed or injured. And then as we got closer to the Mile of Silence, more and more fatalities kept continuing mm-hmm. in this state.
Mm-hmm. Ken McLeod of the League of American Bicyclists, can you give us an idea of how Iowa is situated compared to other states when we talk about the population and bike riding and bike fatalities and injuries?
Yeah, so it's important to note that at the national level, we don't have a great idea of how many people are biking or how often they're biking or how long they're biking. A big event like Ragby, all of those bicyclists biking so many miles, isn't something that's captured by national statistics, and so we don't really know the exposure level for an individual bicyclist. We have some measures that say that bicycling is getting safer overall, because we see more people biking with about the same number of fatalities. And so that's a positive thing, but Iowa is kind of in the middle of the pack for most fatality statistics. It's 30th overall by population, and it has the 32nd most bicycle fatalities when you estimate it by number of bike commuters, mm-hmm. Which is one proxy that we have for how many people are out there biking.
Okay. I want to zero in on distracted driving here, first of all, right now. When I look around, when I'm driving my car or when I'm riding my bike around, when we say, well, why would there be a spike now in recent years? One thing that naturally occurs, I think, to all of us is we see a lot of drivers texting, phoning while driving. Ken McLeod, is there any tie-in there that you can see from a national level?
Certainly there has been a spike in traffic fatalities for all people on the roadways in the last year. There's definitely issues related to distracted driving. There's also been a lot more driving as gas prices have come down. So as you see more people driving, there has been a spike in fatalities for bicyclists, pedestrians, and people in motor vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Mark Wyatt, on that note, distracted driving.
Yeah, you know, we've seen a lot, and there's just not enough in the law right now to discourage distracted driving, and I think the legislature needs to step up and take action there. Just on my way over here, I saw three motorists at stop signs with phones out.
Right, and it's not like we don't have the science to back this up. We have 20-something times the chance of being in an accident. Being in a crash if you are texting. You're very distracted when you're texting and also distracted even if you're just talking.
Absolutely. I think this is the – in Iowa law with injury or fatality by vehicle, there's four things that they find important. Now, one is drunk driving. Two is drag racing. Three is eluding police officers. And four is reckless driving. This is our reckless driving. This is our drag racing. This is – text messaging has become that problem that we need to get serious and deal with.
Mm-hmm. Join our conversation as we talk about biking hazards in the state, bike safety. How do we improve it? We've had since 2011, 24 cyclists have been killed in collisions with motor vehicles in our state. Many of these crashes, the Des Moines Register investigation finding that driver facing no jail time, no more than a few $100 in fines. Also, the Des Moines Register finding that many of those crashes caused by drivers striking cyclists from behind. 1-866-780-9100. Do you feel safe as a cyclist on Iowa roads? What do you think needs to happen? 1-866-780-9100. That's the number that Mike from Huxley dialed. Mike, what do you want to chip into our conversation today?
Well, first, good afternoon, and I know Kyle and Mark, and this issue has triggered me to run for a seat in the Iowa House this fall. And when this was addressed, had a chance to be addressed this spring in our legislature, it was not taken any further. But the issues today, I mean, it's just so important. And I have a feeling that we haven't talked very much about the aggressive driver, because I think that there needs to be a certain level of education for drivers' education and us older drivers to understand that bicycles have a right to the road, need to act like vehicles on the road, and that we need to treat them accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't feel like we're at that level where people have the acceptance and the expectation. People need to expect to see a bicycle and pay attention. I hear from time to time, you know, I came up over a hill and it surprised me. We've all learned during driver's ed that we're responsible for the vehicle we drive, and you know, if we rear end somebody, it's our fault. So it's a kind of along those same lines. We need to expect to see riders on the road.
Okay, thank you for your view. Mike from Huxley, 1-866-780-9100. Mark Wyatt of the Iowa Bicycle Coalition, you've started a petition, and now there is a lot of interest in this petition. Tell us about it.
Yeah, prior to RagBrian, prior to the Mile of Silence, we started an online petition to ask our state government to start working together to solve this issue. And we've seen, to date, about 7,000 people that signed on to the petition. And these are people that want to take action and want to see action taken to end this cause. It's important. We also put in the petition a full range of solutions that we really need to address. Some of those are policy issues from the legislature. Some of those are infrastructure issues with the DOT and adopting a new state bicycle and pedestrian plan. Some of those are outreach education and driver's ed classes and schools and elementary school for bicyclist education. So there's a lot of solutions that we need. I don't think any one solution can solve the problem alone, but we do need to take things seriously.
Right, and we have all ages of bicyclists being killed. The youngest rider killed this year, 6 years old. the oldest rider, not including Sunday's the crash victim in Ragbri, 69 years old. So the whole gamut there, people enjoying their bikes, enjoying the countryside, and getting killed. What can we do about it? That's what we're looking at this hour, biking hazards, biking safety, 1-866-780-9100. Tell us, Mark, before I go to a caller, how do people find you online and find out more about the petition, the wording, to see if they agree and want to put their name on it?
Sure. It's on our website, iowabicyclecoalition.org/petition. You can take a look and sign on and look through our website for crash statistics and other information on advocacy.
Getting a lot of comments on Twitter. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. Jared writes, I do not feel safe on roadways and ride gravel roads due to lower traffic volume and lower speeds. Sandra tweeting, I have close calls on bikes on my bike all the time. The worst is when I'm trailing my kids and drivers barely notice us. Nicole tweets, driver distraction must be addressed by the legislature. I'm for tougher penalties, insurance implications. I never ride on the road, tweets Nicole. Kyle Munson, you've observed and written about this for many years. What about that point of just changing awareness? We've got to change the culture. Do you think there are a lot of drivers out there who need a different mindset when they approach a bike and a different mindset when they think, well, what is the bike's place on a road?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I often think that this should not be a strange conversation for Iowa. I mean, the whole notion of, well, you know, the bicycles just stick to the trails. They don't deserve to be on the road. You know, in an agricultural state where we're so used to slow-moving traffic, you know, tractors, combines, harvest time, that whole framework. You know, nobody's going to be stepping out and telling farmers to stay off the road.
Right, right, but we don't give bicyclists the same status as our tractors, do we?
Right, right. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We have to have this shared roadway mentality and kind of work to and not see it as a negative, but see it as potential strength. I mean, I've seen the difference that these rails to trails have made in a lot of these small communities, all around Iowa. If we keep improving that network and then that, you know, improving our two lane highways where the, you know, maybe a trail is not going to serve, and we can become more and more interconnected as a bicycling state, that's a huge tourism win. You know, instead of having this bitter fight over, you know, how we're going to keep bicyclists off the roadways, we should be finding ways to, you know, have them be more safely on the road or off to the side of the road in their own protected lane.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Jeff in Waterloo. He dialed 1-866-780-9100, getting lots of input this hour via social media, via the phone, about whether you feel safe biking on Iowa roads, what can be done to improve safety, considering all the deaths, 8 so far in 2016, killed on Iowa roads. Jeff in Waterloo, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I guess I agree that no cyclist should be ran over by a car, a drunk driver. But I also think that the cyclist should take part in paying registration fees and maybe helping with the road use tax so that some of these trails could be paid for by cyclists. I mean, they're sharing the road with automobiles that are paying for the roadway, mm-hmm. and the cyclists have had no contribution to that whatsoever. Another thing, I think they could require some lighting, flashing lights on the rear of bikes and maybe a flashing light on the front for better visibility. I guess that's my opinion.
Okay, Jeff, thanks for your input. Mark Wyatt, let me turn to you for reaction to Jeff's comments from Waterloo that we have to put some of this on the shoulders of the bicyclists.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that transportation finance is not as simple as what Jeff described there. I am also a car owner. I pay license and registration fees on my vehicle that I don't use all the time. Sometimes I walk. Sometimes I ride a bike. So there is this collective kind of use, and this is the way the system is set up. Also, with the road use tax fund on the inputs to that, bicycling and trail projects are constitutionally prohibited with the Iowa Constitution from getting money out of the road use tax fund. It's been that way since 1938. 38, I believe. So that's important to note that inputs into the road use tax fund don't come back out. Those bicycle and trail projects are paid through separate funds, and we could probably spend a whole show going over transportation finance. I don't think it would be as interesting, though.
Right.
And as far as the visibility issue, certainly there's a personal responsibility on bicyclists. The law does provide that you should have a front headlight and either a rear reflector or a rear light during hours that aren't daylight. That's an important, and that's the way the law is. That's something that we're definitely looking at because we've had several fatalities that have involved low visible situations.
Mark Wyatt is of the Iowa Bicycle Coalition, where he's executive director. Let's squeeze in a call before we take a break. We talk bike safety this hour. Lisa in Ankeny, what do you have to say? Welcome to the program.
Yeah, actually, I just had a couple of things that I wanted to say. First of all, I used to live in Florida, and that's actually when I first started bicycling. I bicycled to and from work in town in Sarasota. And, you know, I've since started bicycling here since I moved back for the last few years. And I've actually noticed a big difference between Florida and Iowa regarding how, you know, drivers watch out for bicyclists and how they react to it. And by that, I mean, it's actually a lot better here in Iowa than it was in Florida. There was I kind of noticed a lot of times in Florida, I had a lot of chances of possibly getting hit, especially by people coming out of like driveways and getting onto the road from like stores and stuff like that. Whereas here, you know, there's a lot more people that at least try to stop before the sidewalks or take a look at the sidewalks before they, you know, come fully to a stop and they actually pay attention to us being here. So, I mean, it is, you know, better than it has been in other places. And that actually brings me to another subject I wanted to bring up. There's a lot of talk about highways, but there's a lot of people riding, like, in town, too. And, like I said, I'm noticing there is some issues with awareness with people who are, say, pulling out onto a road, not paying attention to sidewalks necessarily. And if you're a bike and you're going a pretty good speed and you're expecting someone to stop and then they keep coming out, you know, that's where you risk getting hit there as well.
Okay. Lisa, thank you for your input from Ankeny. We have about a minute or so before we have to take a break. Ken McLeod, very quickly, are there success stories from other states, things that can be enacted that will definitely improve bike safety?
Yeah, I think in urban areas there's been some really good guidance coming out from the National Association of City Transportation Officials, NACTO, which has a lot of great designs for how to make great bikeways in cities that separate bikes from cars and really improve safety for bicyclists. And I just want to go back to Florida. Florida does have much higher fatality rates than Iowa. It's about four times worse than Iowa, no matter whether you look at it by population or by bike commuter. But they've really invested heavily in biking and walking infrastructure in the last several years, and have adopted a really good complete streets policy at the state level that they're taking strong steps to implement through their DOT.
Okay.
And that's the type of thing that Iowa could do.
Okay. Is Iowa reaching a turning point when it comes to biking safety? We're asking that question this hour. Ken McLeod with the League of American Bicyclists, Kyle Munson of the Des Moines Register, Mark Wyatt of the Iowa Bicycle Coalition. When we come back, State Senator Joe Bochum will join us. He'll give us some background on legislative attempts, moves here, and perhaps now something has changed. We'll ask him to look forward to the coming legislative session. Join our discussion, 1-866-780-9100. We're talking bike hazards, bike safety in Iowa. It's River to River. I'm Ben Kiefer, back in just a moment. And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow on this program, Politics Wednesday, of course, political analysis from Dennis Goldford of Drake University and Dave Anderson of Iowa State University. You've been hearing the news just like I have. Plenty of politics to chew over tomorrow on the program. Today, we're taking up bike safety, given the fact that recently so many tragedies have happened out there. Bicyclists in Iowa being killed. On roadways, often struck from behind by motor vehicles since 2011. This is the statistic that jumps out, that scares us when we want to go out on our bikes. And it's since 2011, 24 cyclists have been killed in collisions with motor vehicles in this state. And many of those crashes, as I mentioned, caused by drivers of cars, vehicles striking cyclists from behind. We had a horrible tragedy at the start of Ragbri this year, which ended this past weekend. Joining us, Kyle Munson, Iowa columnist for the Des Moines Register, Mark Wyatt of the Iowa Bicycle Coalition, where he's executive director, Ken McLeod, state and local policy manager for the League of American Bicyclists. So many comments coming in, gentlemen. Let me read one of these before we get to our next guest. This is from Michael in Des Moines. I'm disappointed in Iowa's laws. In Wisconsin, a woman who was texting when struck and killed a cyclist goes on trial this year, could face 10 years in prison. In Iowa, a woman who was texting when she struck and killed a cyclist recently was fined $1,000, will lose her license for 6 months. The legislature's failure to pass a law regarding passing cyclists was a huge disappointment. Michael in Des Moines sums it up this way. It's hard to believe the state cares about safe cycling when its infrastructure and laws suggest otherwise. I bike roughly half as much since moving here as I did before because cycling is so disappointing and frustrating here. I spent a few days last week on Ragbri and could only think that it was a shame. The only way I could safely ride on the roads we took was to be surrounded by thousands of other cyclists. So much input here. Interest in bike safety, as we talk about it this hour. We're joined also in our Iowa City studio by State Senator Joe Bolcom of Coralville. Senator Bolcom, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Ben. Great to be here.
I'd like to have you talk a little bit, first of all, refresh our memories. If we don't know about this, you will know about this. The legislative history behind trying to improve bike safety here in Iowa. Run through that, please.
Well, over the last few years, there's been more activity. There's been bills introduced over, say, the last 18 or 20 years that I'm aware of. But in 2005, Senate Democrats in a bipartisan way approved a bill that dealt with lighting on bikes. Right now, you have to be lit up front and back when you're out at night. We passed a law that said if you get a citation for that, we'll give you a certain amount of time to go out and buy a light. And if you do that and show you've done it, you can erase the ticket. So that passed in 2015. Then in 2016, we passed a safe passing zone law. When you're overtaking a cyclist, you need to give the lane and make that clear. And that passed in a strong bipartisan way. And also this year, we passed a new promising pilot project to deal with the issue of habitual drunk drivers. And it's a program going on in South Dakota, and the Senate approved that in a bipartisan way, an attempt to really get after people that are out there driving drunk or impaired. Unfortunately, all three of those bills went over to the Republican Iowa House, and they failed to consider any of them. And that was a disappointment to the cyclist community and people that want to see more.
What's the pushback? What are the reasons you're hearing?
Yeah, you'd have to ask the House Republican leaders why they failed to bring those bills forward for any kind of debate or discussion.
Okay, Mark Wyatt, can you clue us in there? What is the political pushback against the type of bills that Senator Bolcom has described?
You know, we're not getting specific answers back when we ask those questions, and we get a litany of I want to change, add red flags to the back of every bike, or do things that seem kind of backwards to promoting safety. So we don't see anything that's as far as solutions, and we need some leadership and to have that happen.
Okay, Joe Bolcom. Now the governor has spoken up here in recent days. His press conference there, we played it at the beginning of the hour, saying that he wants to make this a legislative priority. Have we reached a turning point, a tipping point here, especially now that the governor has spoken up about it?
Well, I was really glad to hear the governor's comments on this, Ben, and the organizing of this new safety group to really look at some of the issues of making our roadways safer for certainly cyclists and pedestrians and drivers, too. There's a lot of distractions on the road. So I think the governor deserves credit for that, and I hope he stays interested in this issue as we move into the 2017 legislative session.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as realistic in passing this coming session? You're an avid bicyclist. Yeah. I know that. You've studied this issue, very concerned about bicycle safety. What could pass the coming legislature? What is the, I don't know, low-hanging fruit, if we want to put it that way?
Yeah, good questions. Yes, I'm a bicycle commuter. I bike to work, and I was out around Ragbri riding last week and had a great time. But I increasingly find that distracted drivers are really quite dangerous to people on bikes. And I think it's probably time that we look at ending cell phone use in cars unless it's hands-free, stopping texting, Facebooking, emailing. I can't drive anywhere. I drive, too, and I see people unsafely playing with their phones and the like. And it's, if we're going to reduce distracted driving, we're going to have to make an effort in the area of phone use in cars.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Munson, you write about this issue. What do you feel as far as what the legislature can do, what's realistic that the legislature can do to improve safety?
Well, I mean, I think the safe passing bill they've been talking about feels like a good step to me, and I don't see, you know, why that should be a huge hurdle. Just at least giving bicyclists some more clearance on the roads. And I don't know. I've had this conversation with lots of different people over. I don't know if there's a perfect what the perfect arrangement of penalties or jail time or anything like that is. To provide, disincentive to, for distracted driving and for, killing vulnerable users, including bicyclists out there on the road. But something to raise awareness and make a serious kind of step in that direction feels good to me. Mm-hmm. There was a caller earlier that was, talking about, they prefer to ride on gravel. And, I have to agree. I've thought about the very same thing, growing up in rural Iowa. I initially rode on gravel roads because that was the only place I had to ride. And it is a little bit safer because, unless it's after a fresh rain, you at least have the dust and you have the noise to alert you to, traffic that might be coming up from behind you, in front of you, over the next hill, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I think there, we've discussed some of these steps that would make the two-lane highways at least somewhat safer for the bicycle.
Mm-hmm. In the city, here's a comment again from Michael in Des Moines. He writes, Des Moines has an embarrassingly small number of miles of bike lanes, trails, or routes connecting neighborhoods. Much of the city is connected by four-lane roads that are designed to move lots of traffic, though they're often pretty empty, he writes, but have no room for cyclists. The reconfiguration of Ingersoll west of downtown is a nice start, but far from enough. Des Moines seems to think of bikes as toys for recreation rather than a method of transportation. Mark Wyatt, there's a comment, isn't it?
Yeah, we really need to improve infrastructure. But I also want to kind of back up to one of the comments that you had earlier.
Sure.
The Mitchell County distracted driving case where a driver was convicted of texting while driving and killed a bicyclist. She received a traffic ticket and a $1,000 fine. 2 days before that, there was a Polk County case where a woman was text messaging while driving. The people in the back seat of her car told her to stop text messaging, and she acknowledged that but continued to do that. She swerved and rolled the car, injured somebody in the back. The difference between those cases is that there was a witness in the back seat that told her she was being reckless. And that's one of the problems that we have in the Iowa Code, is that we do have reckless driving, but the jury instructions and the definitions on that are so high that we can't see that penalty used by the prosecutors. We really need to address reckless driving, and because it would take us forever to define text messaging and Pokemon Go and everything in the middle. We need really kind of what a reasonable person would define as reckless.
Mm-hmm. Joe Bolcom, as a legislator, as a state senator, talk about that, the legal implications of recklessness, negligence. Why is there a problem there? Why does a person go down the road, can be texting, whatever, kill someone and walk away with a few hundred or $1,000 fine and no implications?
Well, from the county attorney's perspective, the people that would bring a set of charges, they have to prove things. And I'm driving down the road, I run into somebody from behind, and as a driver, I say, I didn't see the person on a bike, because the car's 3,000 pounds and the bike's a couple hundred, is dead. It's the driver's word about what was going on, unless, of course, you can get the cell phone and see if at that moment of the crash or roughly that the person was playing with their phone and either on it in some way. So I think one of the challenges is just having laws that you have evidence that you can actually prove people's intent. There are other examples. I'm driving down the road and I have a passenger in my car and I see a deer and I steer out of the way and I run into a pole and my passenger dies. And there's no, you know, is that recklessness or not? Or if I, same example, but I run into somebody that's oncoming at me. So I just think there are challenges for lawmakers around what kind of penalties and then being able to prove people's negligence. It's easy when somebody's drunk. It's easy when somebody's impaired. It's a little bit more difficult when people just say, I didn't see the bike and this we have a fatality.
1-866-780-9100. Many calls. Let's try to go rapid fire style through some of these calls because a lot of people stirred up with concerns and rightly so. Shannon in Iowa City, what's on your mind?
I guess what I'm trying to call in for is I 100% believe that we need to watch for these bikes on the roads. They have the right to be there. We need to share the road with them. I guess what I'm calling in about is, has anyone looked at the fact of any sort of training for bicyclists? You know, has anyone looked at, you know, yeah, there's distracted driving for cars, same for bicyclists. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're out there enjoying nature, you know. For instance, I witnessed this past weekend down by Ragbri, not in Ragbri, not even close to the main road of Ragbri. A bicyclist, there was two squad cars going down the road. They were going to an accident. The first one passed, and that bicyclist came back out almost to the middle of the road, didn't look back at that other officer one bit. Luckily, that officer was paying attention and had slowed way down.
Right.
And then, you know, gave him the lights and everything to get him off the road, and he got off. But there's distracted driving for cars. There can be for bicyclists also. Also, in Iowa City, I drive around Iowa City all day long. I'm in my vehicle. That's part of my job. And I see bicyclists. They'll be going on the road just fine, doing what, you know, obeying the laws, but they'll come to a stoplight, and all of a sudden they're up on the sidewalk. They're shooting through that intersection, almost get hit, and they're yelling at the car driver that almost hit them because they jumped up on the sidewalk and decided to ignore the laws and do their own thing.
Okay, Shannon, from Iowa City, thanks for your comment. Joe Bolcom, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I mean, there's bonehead bike riders and there's bonehead drivers, you know, people that don't follow the rules of the road. And I can't disagree that cyclists need to know what the laws are and follow them. And so do people that drive cars. I think one of the things that occurs to me, I drive a car too. I pay for the roads when I buy gasoline, and I also bike on those same roads. And So I do both. I have both experiences. I think there's a lot of drivers that don't have the experience of being on a bike, and they don't get how vulnerable people on bikes are, whether they're on a city street or a county road. And with potholes, with cracks, with wind, with heat, with cars whizzing by. And I just think it'd be, you know, people just need to give the bicyclists a little bit of a break and slow down they see them.
Right. But also some of the behavior of the bicyclists, I think, creates a bit of animosity, creates some hostility on the part of motorists who perhaps have never bicyclists. Kyle Munson and Mark, you were on Ragbri. I witnessed one particular incident where we know on Ragbri the entire lane is taken up by Ragbri riders. We were coming out of a town. I'm not sure which one it is. But the oncoming lane is supposed to be kept free for local traffic. And there was a little bit of the edging over into that lane. This oncoming car came in very, very fast. Riders putting hands up saying, slow down, slow down, slow down. Finally, one bicyclist actually did a Tiananmen Square type of face-off, went up to the car, stopped the car, and they exchanged some words. Kyle Munson, and more than once I experienced there that hostility, that animosity between some people and bike riders. Now, granted, Ragbri is once a year, and there are a lot of bikers there. I don't know if you have observations about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I saw some of the same things happen. I mean, not the Tiananmen Square style confrontation, but sometimes you have this, you know, on Ragbri you'll have this stick lane of bicyclists, and unavoidably you'll occasionally have some local traffic that, you know, it makes its way onto the route. And so there was one case where there was a semi without a trailer, it was just screaming along. I mean, the just by his speed, I assumed that he had this frame of mind like, you know, I'm not slowing down for these, you know, these bicyclists. And it was dangerous. I mean, one wobbly bicyclist falls down the lane, would have been crushed. Instantly.
Exactly.
He couldn't have stopped. But, you know, I have to admit, I do see bicyclists bicycle and text. I see them using their phones, and it kind of blows my mind. So I understand that they're, you know, as the senator said, there are bad actors on both sides. But, you know, this whole notion that until we stop seeing bicyclists as introducing the danger on the roads by simply being there, and we change that just to how can we make the shared roadway safer, that's the change in the culture we're trying to make happen, I think.
Okay. Let's go back to our phones quickly before the hour ends. Fred in Iowa City, chip in something briefly, if I may ask you, Fred.
I've had two experiences which changed my perspective and my riding habits. One is in Bangladesh, where I did medical work, and the head of a hospital there. And Bangladesh, like many developing countries, medical system is overwhelmed by road traffic accidents. And he pointed out that the underlying problem was vastly different speeds of traffic on the same roadway. It's inherently unsafe. The second one was my son spent a summer in Denmark, where in the city he worked in, they had a separate lane and signals for bicycles. And I now only ride on bike paths. I think it's the only truly safe way, unless you make a separate lane for bicycles.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, yes. Some other countries, I think they add the Netherlands. I've biked in the Netherlands. Incredible. It is incredible to bike in a country, a community that has dedicated bike paths. You realize how unsafe you felt on roads before that, Mark Wyatt.
You know, Fred brings up a really, really important point, is speed is not our friend with traffic at all. And this is across the board. You know, I've talked to commercial driver programs, and they say, you know, the first thing we try to teach our driver is any sort of inflection in the roadway, any sort of change, slow your speed. It makes everything else mm-hmm. much easier to do. And that's the same thing if a motorist encounters a bicyclist. That first thing instinct shouldn't be to pass. It should be to slow down and assess the situation before you make any changes. And we're seeing this even reflected in roadway design, where we're going to narrower width lanes to try to slow the speed of motor vehicles and make things safer for everybody along the roadway.
Nate in Des Moines, listening to our program, emails. In London, the borough councils have classes to teach residents cycling safety through programs that are similar to driving school, but with biking. My question is, if the state had similar classes to help people learn and get comfortable to bike in traffic or generally promote proper ways to bike on roads, would this be helpful? Senator Bolcomb.
Of course.
Of course. Learning how better habits there, too. Good suggestion from Nate in Des Moines. So to wind up this hour, it sure feels like dealt with a lot of issues on this program over a number of years. It sure feels like we're at a tipping point, a turning point. Kyle Munson, you've observed, you've written about this for a long time. Do you have the same feeling?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just with the confluence of events this year, especially, you know, more scrutiny and kind of, you know, studying data going back, you know, a decade or more, and, you know, what has happened on Ragbri. You know, Iowa has been trying to build this bicyclist reputation for a long time. In a lot of ways, it's worked. But I think we are at a point now where we're seeing, okay, what infrastructure, you know, what laws do we need to make sure we're serious about this and not just promoting the tourism at the expense of the safety.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly, Ken, instead of just passing new laws regarding this issue, North Carolina, you've got an example there. They've enacted some study bills regarding cyclists. How's that working?
Last year, North Carolina created a study commission through their legislature, which looked at 12 different bicycling-related safety issues and recommended several changes to the law that were enacted this year. So that's one approach to deal with this kind of safety problem, is appoint a commission and get experts together to give their advice on how to improve the laws.
Okay. The last word, perhaps, from Mike. Mark Wyatt, sorry, of the Iowa Bicycle Coalition. What do you see in the future? Is it a turning point?
I certainly hope so. This is rock bottom. We can't sustain losing any more lives. I think that there is some policy solutions that are great. I think there's some infrastructure solutions and planning solutions that are fantastic. And I think there's some education solutions that we need to work on. I think the big thing is we need to work on this together, all Iowans together, to make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Joe Bolcom, reaching across the aisle, are you reconnecting there to get more support this time?
Well, the tragedies of these lost lives is really going to move this along, and I hope that we can move with something on distracted driving, on cell phone use. The Department of Transportation needs to complete its bicycle plan for the state, and we need to do a better job of funding infrastructure, especially more trails in local communities and around the state.
Okay, thank you very much, State Senator Joe Bolcom. Ken McLeod of the League of American Bicyclists, Kyle Munson, of course, Iowa columnist of the Des Moines Register, Mark Wyatt, executive director of the Iowa Bicycle Coalition. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this very important issue.
Thanks, Ben.
Good job, Ben.
Thanks.
River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. And we had help today from Jason Burns in Ames. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us. Politics Day tomorrow.